Great. How many of you are new to testifying before the city council? Okay. Well, it's really easy. Really easy. You just need to make sure, if you want to testify as opposed to just observe, make sure you sign up. I think the sign-up sheets are still outside. We will be calling through in the order that folks signed up for all issues. Before we dig back into the schedule, though, it is my honor to read the following proclamation. And do you want to come forward? Because you've got a great poster there that we should get on TV. Whereas Earth Day promotes environmental awareness, education, and celebration, and fellowship, unity in a common cause, whereas Earth Day was first established on April 22, 1970, joining together more than 20 million Americans from diverse backgrounds to celebrate one cause, the preservation of our planet. And whereas the great Portland State University student-led annual festival, now in its fourth year, endeavors to educate, empower, and engage the community to environmental action. And whereas in celebration of this important day, the great Portland State University is inviting the community of PSU students, faculty, and staff, as well as anybody to participate in Earth Day, including folks that live downtown or work downtown. Earth Day Festival will be held on the campus park blocks April 22nd. What time does it start?
11. Huh? 11 a.m. to 4 p.m.
11 a.m. to 4 p.m. on the park blocks near PSU on April 22nd, whereas the free public event features student research, representation from student groups and Portland community nonprofits, local food, local art vendors, demonstrations of sustainable technology and live music. Now, therefore, I, Sam Adams, the mayor of the city of Portland, Oregon, the city of roses, do hereby proclaim April 22nd, 2011 to be Portland State Earth Day Festival and encourage all Portlanders to attend. Thank you.
Thank you.
Would you like to say a few words?
Yes, definitely. We've been planning this festival for about 4 months. My name is Hannah Davis. I'm one of the Earth Day Coalition members with Kevin and Minuet and Ina. And thank you so much for giving us a little bit of time today. We've been planning for a long time. This event means a lot to us and a lot to the university. And so a lot of people put their energy into it, and it would mean a lot to all of us if we could get a bunch of community members out to celebrate with us.
Well, thank you for your great work. Enjoy, and I'll give you this.
We do a quick photo?
Yes. Oh, you want a photo?
Yes.
Okay, everybody. Why not?
Commissioner, would you like to get a photo? Yes, of course. You support sustainability, I know.
Thank you so much.
Am I gonna hear? I'm gonna have all these. Danielle, am I inviting them up together?
In the 2 o'clock, right? Okay. All right, Carla, we're back from recess.
389.
Please call the roll.
Fish?
Here.
Saltzman?
Here.
Leonard? Fritz?
Here.
Adams?
Here. Quorum is present. We will proceed, starting with the 2 o'clock time certain. Can you please read item number 389?
Accept the report and update on the $1 million special appropriation for addressing downtown homelessness.
Commissioner Nick Fish.
Thank you, Mayor. And good afternoon, colleagues. I'm honored today to invite some special guests to testify and to give us an update on the $1 million supplemental appropriation that the mayor proposed and the council approved for this fiscal year to address homelessness in the central city. Mayor and colleagues, today you'll hear from Director Margaret Van Vliet, Shane Abma from the Portland Business Alliance, Mark Jolin from JOIN, Ken Cowdery from New Avenues for Youth, and is Paul joining us too?
Yes.
Paul Malloy, who is one of the youth served by New Avenues for Youth. Before we begin, I want to thank the staff at the Portland Housing Bureau for their hard work, and in particular, Jacob Fox, Sally Erickson, Ryan Diebert, and Jennifer Chang. And I also want to thank my colleagues on the council for their continued commitment and compassion as we continue to weather this historic economic storm. Mayor, one of the lessons of this recession is that we in Portland have little control over the feeders that contribute to homelessness and economic insecurity. The collapse of the housing market did not originate in Portland. The broken mental health system is not unique to Oregon. The subprime mortgage scandal was not of our making, and the cuts to federal and state budgets that fund critical services did not originate here and, frankly, won't be solved here. But they do have a tremendous impact on our community. The lesson that we have learned, however, is that we must continue to invest in long-term cost-effective strategies to help our people through this storm, to move people from the streets to homes, ultimately to self-sufficiency. The $1 million of supplemental appropriation infused into our system is having a significant impact, Mayor, to help alleviate bottlenecks that limited our ability to manage the continuum. And I'm very proud to have our key partners here today to share the results and to give us a brief update. So with that, Director Van Vliet.
Thank you. My name again is Margaret Van Vliet. I'm the Director of the Portland Housing Bureau. I will be brief so that you can hear from our non-government partners. I want to reiterate Commissioner Fish's appreciation for the support that this council has shown to the issues that the Housing Bureau is responsible for, in particular sort of addressing the difficult challenges connected to homelessness and housing insecurity. This process that we used a year ago to figure out how exactly to invest the $1 million supplemental, I think, was really an excellent example of public, private, and nonprofit collaboration. We brought together diverse partners in a way that is not always done. We put our best thinking on the table. We challenged and asked big, important questions of each other and came up with some, I think, innovative solutions to really target the funds in an effective way. So I'm going to turn it over first to Shane Abma and let him give you a little bit from his perspective, and then I'll be happy to answer questions if you have any. But the report is in your materials. Thank you.
Thank you, Margaret. Shane, welcome.
Thank you. Good afternoon. My name is Shane Abma. I'm president of Downtown Clean and Safe and vice president of the Portland Business Alliance. The Alliance participated in the $1 million appropriation process last year, both with the initial discussion to set priorities and in the selection committee to choose the recipients of the funding. We were honored to be a part of Commissioner Fish's efforts to leverage this $1 million investment into creating efficiencies within the housing system. Addressing homelessness issues is important to the Alliance.
You can just move that down, Mark. Yeah, there you go.
There we go.
Not only are we concerned naturally with the health and well-being of these individuals, but also we are concerned with the effect that homelessness has on the economic vitality of downtown. For that reason, the Alliance has been an active participant in finding solutions to address homelessness through partnerships that promote job creation and recovery, and which complement Commissioner Fish's strategies to move people off the streets and into housing. We do this through our connections with organizations such as TPI, Transition Projects, and New Avenues for Youth, as well as our Clean and Safe Programs partnership with Central City Concern, where we employ many once homeless individuals to get them their first job, get them off the streets, and get them on the path of self-sufficiency. We are delighted to hear, through contact with our partners and those that receive the grant funds, that these funds have already made a difference. Again, we thank Commissioner Fish for his leadership on this effort. We applaud the entire City Council for focusing on this issue, and we look forward to hearing more about the results of this new investment. Thank you.
And to think you once worked for us. Shane used to be a city attorney and sat over there until the Portland Business Alliance stole him away. We're not bitter.
Who's next? Are. Mark Jolin?
I don't know.
Ken? Mark, why don't you go ahead?
Shall I go first?
Yes,
okay,
go ahead.
I'll go. Good afternoon. I'm Mark Jolin. I'm the executive director at JOIN. And We are proud to be the lead agency on a collaboration that's called the Permanent Housing Placement Initiative. We have a sizable part of the special appropriation money. The PHPI initiative includes Central City Concern, Cascade AIDS Project, Catholic Charities Housing Transitions Program, the Black Parent Initiative, El Programa Hispano, and the Salvation Army Female Emergency Shelter. Our collaboration is aimed at getting more people off the Central City streets and back into permanent housing more quickly by providing flexible rent assistance that leverages the staffing and expertise of existing homeless service programs in the community. We're just 6 months into this project, and I have to say all of the partners have really been excelling. We have 107 households who have moved off the streets out of shelter or out of transitional housing into permanent housing. We've done an additional 30 eviction prevention, so all told about 160 individuals are now in apartments of their own rather than on the streets, in our downtown shelters, or in transitional housing programs. 50% of those households are headed by women. 22% of the households are headed by women who have a history of domestic violence. 48% of the households are headed by people of color. And 78% of the households are headed by people with a significant disability. One of the focus areas is on women. And the Safe Shelter, together with Housing Transitions, moved 52 women either out of shelter beds or off the waiting list of their shelters over just the last 6 months, freeing up those shelter beds for other women in the community. And Black Parent Initiative has moved 22 households either off the streets into housing or prevented them from becoming homeless through eviction prevention work. Central City Concern has worked the hardest on moving folks out of transitional housing into permanent housing, freeing up those scarce transitional housing slots that have a lot of important services attached to them. They've moved 22 households so far out of transitional housing into permanent housing and have done eviction prevention with another 25 households that otherwise might have wound up on our downtown streets. And finally, there is a piece of this project that is focused on very high-need, high-barrier individuals who are not a good fit for our shelter system or our transitional housing programs. That's where Cascade AIDS Project and JOIN have focused. Cascade AIDS Project was able to help 6 chronically homeless individuals living with HIV/AIDS on the downtown streets into permanent housing. And JOIN, in our partnership with CEIC, the PBA, and the Portland Police Bureau, has been able to help 34 very difficult-to-house individuals back into permanent housing. We're collecting cost avoidance information on all of the folks who were housing through that piece of the project. That data is still coming in, but I can tell you that one of the gentlemen who we were able to house in November had spent the previous 365 days sleeping on a downtown sidewalk. He had in that year had 70 contacts with the police and 22 emergency room visits. He is now in housing, and you know, he's only been there a few months, but I can tell you that those numbers are going to drop significantly, and more importantly, his quality of life has improved dramatically. One last quick example of how this is working in terms of our collaboration with the Bureau, the Police Bureau. We got a call from Officer Mike Castillo, who works in our Southeast. He had found a family, a Latino family, 2 parents, 3 kids, sleeping in their car. They hadn't been able to make family shelter work. They were near St. Francis Dining Hall. He called Jarvis Allen, one of our outreach workers. Jarvis was able to use this money and his landlord connections to get them back into an apartment within a matter of days. And so I want to conclude by really calling out and appreciating the collaboration with the Bureau, with the Police Bureau, with the Portland Business Alliance and Clean and Safe, and with CEIC. I think the management support of each of those organizations for this has been important, but really it's been the individual officers who have worked one-on-one with our outreach workers to find individuals who they were concerned about, who were super vulnerable, and to work with us to help them through that process of getting into permanent housing. So on that, I thank you all very much on behalf of our collaboration, on behalf of the 160 people who are in apartments tonight who wouldn't have been without this investment.
Thank you very much, Mark. Next up is Ken Cowdery. Ken, welcome.
Hi. Our purpose in this program was really 3 things, to enhance street outreach, to enhance housing opportunities for youth, and employment. Since the program started, we have had 700 unduplicated youth contacts downtown alone. That is a significant increase in previous years. We've also opened 2 outreach sites at New Avenues for Youth and Outside In, and these have been opened during business hours, which is, again, a different form of business for us, having a lot more contact with youth downtown. 12 youth have been placed into permanent housing with the dollars from this program, And what is happening is that as they move into permanent housing, you're opening beds in shelters and transitional housing facilities. And that was one of the main objectives of this program, is to relieve that bottleneck. 39 youth have received job training, job readiness training. 16 have been placed into subsidized work experience, and 7 have achieved full-time employment. I also want to thank members of the Portland Business Alliance. This is a group that we first turned to when we got this funding to ask for their help in identifying job opportunities downtown. Since we've started, we have met or exceeded 8 of the 11 outcomes that you are funding, and the 3 others are showing great promise. The one we continue to be challenged with is employment. We are in the middle of a recession, and our young people are competing for jobs with adults, and it's been challenging. And one of our success stories that we're very proud of, and we've always made this a tradition at New Avenues, is a young person who went through the program and has been employed successfully, and that's Paul. Paul, do you want to say a few words?
Slide it down again. Thank you, Ken. Paul, welcome.
Thank you. I went through New Avenues Transitional Housing Program for about 7 months. Within that 7 months, I was able to receive job training and also a permanent job with Lucky Limousine that's by the airport. After I got my job and kept it for about 3.5-4 months and showed that I wasn't going to lose it, I got help moving into my own apartment, which was my first, and I still currently have that and my job. I want to see the funding continue because it helped me a lot, and without it, I wouldn't have made it to where I am today. And I know that it's going to help a lot of other people in the future. So, thank you.
Congratulations.
Could I also add, we have 2 other young people here. Ramona and Zacharias, would you stand, please? They've also gone through the program.
Thank you very much.
Let's give the youth a round of applause. That's great. Congratulations.
Mayor, we're 6 months in. As you've heard, we've had terrific results and outcomes already. And if I might just highlight a couple of the themes that you've heard. Number one is the spirit of collaboration. It was not always the case that the Portland Business Alliance, the homeless providers, the police, neighborhood groups, and other interested parties sat down and did planning together. I won't dwell on that, but it was not always the case. That was not the norm. And this is an example of what happens when everybody gets together and shares their best ideas and insights. Number 2, there was nothing preordained about the roadmap that this group came up with in terms of how to spend the supplemental. In fact, I would say that, as you might predict, some people came in fact, with a kind of a bias in favor of some short-term measures like more shelter beds. Others, longer-term strategies. People came with good ideas and good intentions. What was remarkable, though, is through the process at the table of discussing how to do something different, to be bold as you challenged us, the consensus emerged that if we were really going to tackle this problem, we had to focus on long-term cost-effective solutions. And because it was a 1-year supplemental, we didn't want to create a bureaucracy that we'd have to dismantle after a year. And so what became clear was this notion of getting at the bottlenecks. And for those who may not understand the homeless services continuum, in a nutshell, when someone first enters the system, they may come to a shelter, which is just the next step up from being on the street, but is no solution. From there, someone may go into transitional housing, where they may get the services they need and some immediate attention, but that also may not be the long-term solution. But from there, we hope to get people into homes of their own. And from homes of their own, we hope to get them into jobs working for a limousine service or other employers where they can actually pay their monthly rent and become self-sufficient. The notion of removing bottlenecks, this concept which is driving so much of the work that these talented people are doing, was we didn't necessarily have to add capacity if we eliminated the bottlenecks, which created a better flow of people from who entered the system and exited the system. And that, I think, was the genius of the plan that was hatched and that you've heard from today. Shane is very modest about the PBA's role in all this. Not only has the PBA been a stalwart supporter of our Bud Clark Commons at every juncture, and as my colleagues know, this has been a tough project to finance and to deliver on.
They have been strong supporters of our program to provide storage for homeless people so people can get their possessions off the street. They have worked collaboratively with us on everything from sidewalk management to working with Commissioner Fritz on alcohol-free zones and many other issues in a spirit of collaboration. And as I often remind our friends in the housing world, I don't ask what brings you to the table. We don't ask what your particular concern is when you come to the table. We ask you to come to the table and help us solve the problem. And they have been conspicuous in helping us solve the problem. So thank you. To Ken, New Avenues for Youth. He told me the other day when I was actually over there cooking breakfast, probably the last time I'll be invited. The French toast didn't come out quite as I expected. Ken said that if he can find 50 jobs this year, 50 jobs, it could be one employer like Fred Meyer, who's already a big participant, adding 50 entry-level jobs. It could be someone in the hospitality industry. He'll take 50 people just like Paul, put them in a job, subsidize their wages, and he will virtually guarantee an outcome like this young man. So anyone listening to this who has a job that wants to give some young person a chance, all Ken's asking for is 50. And to Mark Jolin, who, as my colleagues know, does his organization JOIN, does the bulk of the outreach work that is so successful in our community. Mark introduced me to a couple not long ago who I think for 4 or 5 years lived under the Morrison Bridge. And they're now reaching middle age. They have some health issues and other challenges. And they were just left to make their way under a bridge. Today, thanks to the intervention of JOIN and to the continuum that this city funds, they have an apartment in the Mount Scott area. They are able to go to the Mount Scott Recreational Facility to do exercise and physical activity and to get back to health. And one of the wife is now on the board of Potluck Sunday, Potluck in the Park, which is the program which serves other homeless individuals a nutritious meal, giving back now that they have found their place. Remarkable work that they all do, and it wouldn't be possible without the strong support of this council. Mayor, thank you for the vote of support on the $1 million supplemental. And council, thank you for continuing to fund the safety net. And our charge is to continue to deliver these outcomes. So thank you.
Good work. Thank you
very much.
Anyone signed up to testify?
No one has signed up to testify.
And this is a report, so no vote?
Okay. We don't need a report, no.
Great. Is it 2:20 yet? I don't have a clock.
It is.
All right. Carla, can you please read time certain at 2:20, item number 390.
Continue the Downtown Business District property management license fees for an additional 10 years and expand the boundaries of the district.
Mr. Lanham, welcome back. How was your day?
So far, so good, Mayor. We're buried in tax returns over there.
That's right.
Since 1988, downtown property owners and managers have banded together to fund business district services, including cleaning and security, beyond what the city can provide. This district has been known as Clean and Safe and has been around for over a decade. In 2001, City Council renewed the Clean and Safe District for 10 years and added code language to require the City Council to hold a public hearing every 10 years to determine if the Downtown Business District property management license fee of the Clean and Safe District should be terminated or continued. Today's hearing is to satisfy that code requirement. I want to underscore that the resolution before us today, if adopted, states Council's desire to renew the business district and continue the property management license fee for another 10 years. The resolution also raises other issues for consideration, future consideration, and asks staff to work with stakeholders to evaluate. So to just underscore, we are not voting to approve the items for consideration, but whether or not we want staff to study those issues, evaluate those issues, and come back to us. And those items for potential evaluation at the council's request to staff are expansion of the district, reviewing the license fee formula for condos, and do any housekeeping changes to the code. These issues. Once the analysis has been completed, we'll come back to the council via ordinance in July. Now, Mr. Lanham.
Thank you, Mayor. I'm Thomas Lanham. I'm the director of the Revenue Bureau. And joining me today are Phil Kalberer, the president of the Kalberer Company, who will discuss the history of the downtown business district, Shane Abma, the president of Clean and Safe, acting in that capacity and not in the in his other capacities, who will walk us through some of the efforts, the outreach efforts, in order to have this public hearing today, in addition to some of the services that Clean and Safe provides. Dave Williams from the Clean and Safe Board of Directors, who will discuss the governance of the program. Mike Reese, the Chief of Police, who will discuss the public-private security partnership. David Fulmar, a Clean and Safe employee, who will discuss his work in the district and how it has impacted him personally. And Skip Frank from the Clean and Safe Board of Directors, who will discuss the proposed expansion of the district.
If I could pause you for 1 second to do a housekeeping item. How many people have signed up for this item? Okay, please continue.
Sure. The Downtown Business District, which I'll refer to as the Clean and Safe District for clarity, exists to ensure that Portland retains a vibrant downtown core by providing clean and safe streets for merchants, residents, and visitors. Clean and Safe also provides marketing, communication, and public policy services to its members. The public hearing and resolution before you today is being conducted in accordance with Portland City Code Chapter 606, which requires the city to conduct what's known as a sunset review of the downtown business district once each decade. Today's resolution directs the Revenue Bureau to amend city code to renew the existing Clean and Safe District authority. This resolution also directs the Revenue Bureau, Clean and Safe, and the Office of Management and Finance to evaluate the benefits and costs of possibly expanding the district by 12 blocks in the southwest corner. To be clear, we are not voting on an actual expansion today, merely directing the Revenue Bureau and Clean and Safe to review the possibility of expansion and bring recommendations back to council for further consideration. The resolution also directs the Revenue Bureau to review a potential cap of district fees for cultural institutions and a change in the fee formula for condominiums. By way of process, the code requires that notice be given to all members of the district for any public hearing regarding renewing the district. This requirement was accomplished by U.S. Mail, and additional outreach was conducted by Clean and Safe, which they will discuss in a few moments. In summary, the outreach has demonstrated that a large majority of district members are satisfied with Clean and Safe services and want them to continue. Pursuant to city code, two remonstrances were received by the city auditor by district members. Together, they represent a little over 2% of the $4.6 million collected in the district. Renewing the Clean and Safe District is entirely consistent with the draft Portland plan and the city's economic development strategy around enhancing distinctiveness and vitality of the central city. Renewing the district also confirms the city's longstanding commitment to ensuring a clean, safe, vibrant downtown. The Bureau recommends that the council pass today's resolution so work on the ordinance to renew the existing district can begin. And now I'll turn it over to Phil, who will discuss the history of the district.
Hang on a second.
Welcome back, Mr. Kalberer. Glad you're here.
Just turning thanks. Off
thanks for
my
donating,
alarm.
Thanks for donating your keys.
I do.
They're on the ground there.
Brand new car.
Brand new car.
Thank you, Mayor, Council. My name is Phil Kalberer, President of Kalberer Corporation. A little history about this 23-year-old Clean and Safe program. I think it's good to see why it was created and how it was created. I was on the original committee that put it together in 1988, so I must have been about 10 years old at the time. Now, in 1988, the city of Portland was in a very deep recession, and the Clean and Safe program was conceived as a response to problems everyone saw in the downtown core area. The perception, whether real or imagined, that the city was not safe, not clean, and not accessible. The city, wracked by declining revenues, did not have the resources it wanted to put to address these problems. Consequently, the Association for Portland Progress, the forerunner of the PBA, took on the formation of an economic improvement district to address these issues. The Economic Improvement District was actually a new tool created by the Oregon Legislature in 1985 to address economic issues rather than the typical Local Improvement District, or LID, which deals with issues of infrastructure, utilities, and the like. And the idea in Oregon, here in Portland, was the first in the country to address the issue of cleaning, security, and marketing of a downtown area. The proposal for the first EID was for $1.67 million, which was an assessment of approximately $1.33 per thousand of assessed value, and this was for a three-year period. Geographically, there were 170 square blocks. Now we have, I believe, 213 square blocks. How easy was it to get started? You know what was amazingly easy? Because property owners, retailers, the banks, the institutions, the financial institutions were very frustrated at how downtown looked. Doug Goodman was the chair of our committee. He put together an informal informational breakfast in which over half of the assessed values were represented in the room. Within about 6 days, we had over 50%, and we had almost 80% by the time we finished in terms of those who petitioned, not just did not remonstrate, but petitioned that this take place. Was the city reluctant at the time? Probably a little bit, but that was basically because the city felt like it should be doing these things rather than having property owners self-assess them. So how did it work out? The first budget, there was about 55% allocated to guides and security, 15% to cleaning, 15% to marketing, and 15% to admin and recruitment and retention of businesses downtown. We had immediate effects and results. In the first year, the incidents of harassment were down 15% in the city, in the downtown area, while overall in the city, they were up 25%. Incidents of violent mental problems were down 25% in the core area. Prostitution down 23%. Vandalism down 4.5%. Whereas the city as a whole, it was up 12.8%. Cleaning is a very important piece of this whole thing. Thousands of pieces of graffiti were taken down. In the first year, 47,055-gallon trash cans were hauled away. And the cleaners are all in alcohol and drug abuse treatment programs and recommended by downtown social services. So instead of living on the streets, they were cleaning them. Instead of being part of the problem, they became a significant part of the solution. And that holds true today. So the system evolved. It was renewed for another three-year period, then Measure 5 set in, and for a couple years it was on a voluntary basis, although there was actually very little slippage in the revenue that came in, even when it was totally voluntary, because most understood the importance of the program. So then we came back and we have a different type of criteria of assessment, and it's evolved over time, and as you know, as pointed out, it was renewed 10 years ago. So we fast forward now and look at the budget today. The goals are the same, although it is now a $4 million project instead of a $1.67 million project. The goals are for a cleaner, safer, more active downtown for people to live and work in, an environment that encourages shoppers and visitors alike. And the goal is the same. We use those coming out of alcohol and drug treatment programs through Central City Concern to do the cleaning of downtown Portland. We have added a lighting program and the like, but basically the bid at this time is about 2.5 times the size it was in 1988. And again, security is about 59% of the budget, although more of it is more toward police and less toward the guides we had at the time. Cleaning is about 23%, holiday lighting about 13%, and marketing and retail about 5%. So what are the results? Slide 2 will show you what takes place on a typical month. Now, we ask you to look at this and say, well, what would Portland be like if all these issues were not addressed? What would Portland be like if we did not have the BID? We ask you to renew for another 10 years a program which has been resourceful, successful, and vitally important to all those who live, work, and visit Portland. Thank you.
Thank you, Mr. Caliber.
Good afternoon, Council. My name is Shane Abman. I'm president of Clean and Safe. Our board vice chair, Dave Williams, will talk to you in a minute about how the board crafts a budget and then prepares a work scope plan for city review. But before he does so, I wanted to give you a quick overview of what Clean and Safe funds and the outreach we did as a part of the review process. For funding, Clean and Safe funds 14 and a half private security officers, primarily hired through, well, all of them actually are hired through Portland Patrol, Inc., and two supervisors. We fund three Portland police bicycle officers, and the city graciously throws in a fourth. Those bicycle officers are dedicated to just the downtown Clean and Safe district. We fund cleaning crews and equipment that provide cleaning services from 6 a.m. to 9 p.m. daily. This includes your normal routine routes of just picking up litter, trash, removing leaves from drains, but also specific projects like power washing and that sort in the evening whenever there are big spills. We also fund the holiday lighting program, which is the largest holiday lighting program in the United States. It's over 700 trees and 63 blocks for about 3 months. We fund the sidewalk ambassadors, which are the individuals you may see downtown helping tourists and residents alike in their distinctive green uniforms. We fund the downtown retail advocate position, or at least we share a contract with PDC in the city. We fund several downtown retail marketing endeavors, including the dining guide, the business census and survey that we take a survey of all the businesses in the I-405 loop, downtown development report, and then we provide overall retail support. We also fund a community justice program, including a community service court coordinator, community service crew leader, and a theft accountability class. The community service court coordinator is at the community court, and when someone enters with a livability crime and they've been charged with that, they have the option of community service. We fund that position so that we can get that organized, and then we fund the crew leader that takes them out and does extra cleaning on top of the cleaning services that we already provide through Central City Concern. And by the way, I need to back up and say that our partnership with Central City Concern is one of those that I'm most proud of and that the Clean and Safe program is most proud of, because we hire those who are formerly addicted, formerly homelessness, and we give them job training skills so that we can get them off the streets. And finally, we fund a downtown deputy district attorney assistant position to allow some data input so that our downtown deputy district attorney can get out into the neighborhoods. Now I want to spend a couple minutes discussing the review process and our outreach efforts leading up to today. City Code, of course, mandates this hearing every 10 years. We saw this as an opportunity to get valuable feedback from our stakeholders and the fee payers on how we are doing. What are we doing right? What can we improve on? How can we innovate and adapt? So last year, the Board of Directors hired Gallatin Public Affairs to conduct outreach not only to the district payers, but to the tenants, the businesses, employees within the district. As part of that process, Gallatin held three stakeholder meetings. The first was in the southern portion of the district. The second one was in the at the Downtown Retail Council, which is right smack in the heart of the district. And the third stakeholder meeting was in Old Town Chinatown. We were fortunate to have Mayor Katz lead those efforts, given her experience and her history with this district. The Gallatin Report is attached as Exhibit A to this resolution. What we learned is that there is widespread satisfaction with our services and how we provide them in the district. However, as with most programs, there's also room for improvement. First, the growth of condos has transformed the southern end of the district. Indeed, while the code continues to call it a business district, we need to be cognizant of the fact that the district today is much different than it was in 1988. We will continue to focus on livability issues, and that may mean, for example, reevaluating our security coverage hours to look at possible nighttime patrols, especially in the southern district. Second, we need to better communicate our services not only to the property managers who pay this bill, but to those businesses, employees, and residents who are within the district who may not be direct payers but who certainly can utilize and benefit from our services. In the coming year, we will be rolling out a communications plan, and we are discussing things like e-alerts on via text or Twitter, an enhanced and more interactive website, possible Facebook page, perhaps even a smartphone app that would allow those within the district to report cleaning and security issues in real time. In short, the program works remarkably well, but we intend to use this 10-year review point to reevaluate our allocation of resources to reflect a changing and growing downtown and to best provide our services to those that live, work, and play within the district. And with that, I'd like to turn it over to Dave Williams to discuss the governance on the Board of Directors.
Do you want a slide?
We're going to do a slide?
We'll do a slide, yeah.
Thank you, and thank you, Mr. Mayor, Commissioners. My name is Dave Williams, and I'm Vice Chair of the Clean and Safe Board, but in the daytime, I'm Vice President of our Utility Services over at Northwest Natural. I'm one of those people that not only works in the downtown area, but I'm also a person that lives in the downtown area as well. So it's really, I'm very proud to take an active role in helping direct the Clean and Safe work. Let me tell you a little bit about that. The directors of the Clean and Safe Board are the stewards of roughly $4.5 million in clean and safe fees, as you saw earlier. For this reason, I want to highlight the safeguards we have in place to ensure that the money is spent wisely and that it delivers the services demanded by the city and the downtown property owners, managers, employees, and residents. We also have representatives from the city serving as ex officio members. Pursuant to city code, the Clean and Safe Board of Directors is primarily comprised of property managers and property owners within the district. 2 years ago, we added a condominium representative to the board after condos were added to the district. The board and the board's executive committee alternate meetings every other month. Each year in May, the executive committee crafts a budget for approval by the entire board of directors. The board determines how to allocate the fees to the various services, such as security, cleaning, holiday lighting, downtown ambassadors group, and the like, with the ultimate goal being to address the concerns and needs of those within the district. Each September, we provide the city with a detailed work plan. In addition, each year, an independent accounting firm audits Clean and Safe, and those audit reports are sent to the city for its review and approval. The work plan and audit representatives provide necessary safeguards on how this money is spent, but this program has an even more valuable safeguard. In any given year, fee payers representing just 33% of the fees can remonstrate the end of the program altogether. It is the ultimate safeguard. It is perhaps extraordinary that in this economy, during a once-in-a-decade City Council review year, only two of the 577 payers remonstrated the year asking the end to the program. That is the lowest number that anybody can remember. We believe this speaks volumes about this program's success and confidence the payers have in how the money is spent and what services are provided. For these reasons, I ask the council to extend the district for another 10 years. Thank you.
Thank you.
Thank you all very much. Oh, you have one more?
Well, we actually have the chief of police, a cleaner, and then Mr. Frank will discuss the expansion.
Are we going to change the screen, Madam Clerk?
Chief Reese, and who, please come forward. Welcome back to the council chambers. Chief Reese, would you like to begin?
Thank you, Mayor, and members of council. I will be very brief. I just wanted to speak to you about the connection between the Portland Police Bureau and Downtown Clean and Safe. We have had a great relationship and a unique partnership. And what I've seen in my years as a Central Precinct Commander as well as the Chief of Police is a very collaborative approach to the issues facing downtown Portland. We have business leaders, social service providers, security members, and police officers all working on neighborhood livability issues. The Downtown Clean and Safe officers are very professional in their approach. They take care of a lot of the neighborhood livability issues that fly under the radar. As Shane said, the bid pays for three Portland police officers, and we supply one additional officer that address the neighborhood livability issues that are criminal in nature. So the things that really impact the perception of safety, like open containers of alcohol, aggressive panhandling behavior that reaches a harassment level, drug dealing, things of that nature. Additionally, the communication between our officers and Downtown Clean and Safe is seamless. Our bike officers and our mounted patrol unit officers carry two radios, one that communicates to dispatch for the police and one that communicates to the Downtown Clean and Safe dispatch. So when those security officers come across criminal behavior, they have the availability of Portland police officers immediately. And then lastly, I just think that this is, over the course of the last 5 or 6 years, crime has been decreasing in downtown Portland. And we've seen a very vibrant downtown community created in no small measure because of the work that's gone on in the bid for the last 20 plus years. Thank you very much.
Thank you, Chief Reese. Would you like to?
Hi, City Council. Good afternoon. My name is David Fulmer, and I work for Clean and Safe, Central City Concern Clean and Safe, as a janitor one, graveyard pressure washer. And, you know, the opportunity that has been given to me from Central City Concern has given me a chance to, you know, be a productive member of society in the community. From my, you know, background, they gave me the opportunity to, you know, be employed because I had, you know, issues with, you know, becoming employed. And a person with my, you know, history, you know, and being able to, you know, given the opportunity to be with Central City Concern, you know, pretty much just gave me a new lease on life. I cleaned up the very streets that I used to run around and be a problem for in the city. I used to be downtown Portland, you know, as, you know, using drugs and, you know, thought I was a big drug dealer and all that type of stuff. But now I'm cleaning up the city now. So with that, I'm very grateful that I've been given this opportunity to work with Central City Concern and, you know, just clean up my life altogether and be a part of something positive, you know. Thank you.
Congratulations. That's very inspiring. Yeah,
thank you for your work.
Then like me, you must hate gum, people that chew gum, right? Those bricks, we just put them down.
Mr. Mayor, before we move on to the expansion discussion, we just want to make sure that you had no questions or any other items before we head to that next section, because the resolution really is about two things, renewal and then looking at the other issues.
Well, I will just say, I'm sorry, your name again?
David Fulmer.
David, to David. That we had a member of the San Diego City Council here last week, and I was showing her our loos, which, of course, are cleaned by Clean and Safe. And I was explaining, and she was explaining to me that San Diego has a Clean and Safe, but they're having a problem getting the employees there agreed to clean the loos that they're going to buy from us. And I said, well, that's interesting because our Clean and Safe does it. Not only do they do it, I know the name of the man that cleans them, Rodney. Yeah. Who has actually done a YouTube video about it. And she was like, really? And as we were standing looking at the loo on 6th and Gleason, Rodney showed up in his all-electric car and jumped out singing and cleaned the toilet. She was just, it was just such an impressive thing to see. And I was so proud to have the relationship with Clean and Safe and Central City Concern for folks like yourself that have, that are doing such a great job rebuilding your lives and making Portland a better place. And I just want to thank you.
Thank you.
She was very impressed.
Thanks. Sir.
My name is Skip Frank, and the first thing I want to say is that is a very hard act to follow.
Yeah, that is. That is.
What I'm about to ask for is not nearly as exciting, but nevertheless important. I sit on the Clean and Safe Board as the representative of the 10 downtown condominium associations that are within the district. I appreciate that expansion of the area is not presently before you in a direct way. However, it will be before you as you study it over the future months, and I'm here to encourage that you consider it. The Clean and Safe Board has enacted a resolution in support of expanding the district, and I am here on behalf of our 10 downtown condominium associations to urge that you consider it affirmatively. First of all, you have a map before you, and it's probably appropriate that I refer to the area that we're talking about. North is on the right side of the map, so it's a little bit tilted clockwise. The area we're talking about is at the southwest corner of the district, which would be to your upper left. We, for lack of any other verbiage, we call this 12-block area the Safeway blocks. The reason for that is because the Safeway store, the new Safeway store, is in the middle of that, and that provides a significant economic engine and a magnet for human traffic in the area. Perhaps you'll name it something else, but that's what we call it for the time being. So if you hear reference to the Safeway blocks, that's what we're talking about. And I think before I get into details, I should explain probably something that you already know. When the district was originally mapped back in the early 1970s, the Safeway block area looked a lot different than it does now. Lots has happened since then. Not just the Safeway and the Museum Place apartments that sit above it. Also, we have two high-rise condominium towers, the Elliott and the Benson, that sit within that area. We have the north-south streetcar line that runs through there. And the point to be made with all of this is that these are all creators of significant human traffic that create the need that the clean and safe product and mission is developed to guard against. On the east side are the South Park blocks, which are within the district. And that is also a magnet of activity in the area. We urge that you give consideration to remapping the area for reasons, number one, that it's just the fair and right thing to do. Number two, I will talk a little bit about the economics involved. Number three, we're going to show you some photographs. The first thing I should point out is that the South Park blocks, which you could call the crown jewel of this neighborhood, is something that we residents in the area all refer to when people ask us where we live. We live in the area of the South Park blocks. It's really a nice place to live. The unfair thing that we have presently is that those of us that live on the east side of the South Park blocks, in other words, within the district, we pay through our clean and safe fee to clean the areas and to patrol the areas in and around the park. The people on the west side don't. So there's a significant inequity there in terms of the right of enjoyment. The other thing that I should mention is the fact that on the west side, we have a lot of the generators of the problem that Clean and Safe is designed to protect. For example, there is a convenience store outside the district, but on the west side of the park blocks, that is the source of a lot of the litter that we see in the park. It's the source of a lot of the parties that go on in the park after dinner time. We also have the Safeway store. And if you see a pile of litter within the park, you can pretty much rest assured that it came from one of those sources. That's not to say that we don't have those sources on the east side as well, but it's an equal opportunity provider of the problem. Because of these reasons, we believe that the present mapping has become dysfunctional over time because circumstances have changed. Now, let me just move on to the next item on the bullet points, economics. When we condominiums were brought in to the Clean and Safe District last year, this created some $150,000 of additional revenue. That entitled the district to take advantage of substantial economies of scale. In other words, that money was used exclusively to hire patrol personnel. Administrative and overhead costs remained the same. So the incremental cost is growing lower as we expand the district. And that's something that we were able to do, and that's to the advantage of everybody within the district. If we expand the district to the area that we propose, this will create further economies of scale and probably the opportunity to hire one, two, maybe three additional patrol personnel. It is anticipated that administrative costs and overhead costs will remain substantially the same. So again, we will be achieving economies of scale. And the reason this is so important, and I really am happy that Mr. Abma referred to this in his presentation, is that Clean and Safe delivers a great product. But for us, for those of us that live downtown, it's not quite a perfect product. And I'll tell you why. It's because the patrol coverage during the week ends at 11 o'clock p.m. And on the weekend, it ends at 7 p.m. and at 7 p.m. on Saturday, and on Sunday, it ends at 6 p.m. And for those of us that live downtown, we can tell you that's when things are just about getting cranked up. And that creates a problem. So I am hopeful that if this district is expanded, this will give me the opportunity to advocate that it makes economic sense to hire some additional patrol officers, at least one to start, and maybe we can make this happen, perhaps with a little bit of encouragement from you along the way. So with that, I'll turn to the photographs. I'll ad lib as we go through them.
If you could expedite this part, that would be
I'll just state what they are. The first photograph you see, these are all taken within the proposed expansion area. That's some graffiti that appears on the Portland Korean Church. The next is graffiti that appears on the Christian Science Church. This is an encampment at the Christian Science Reading Room, which occurs just about every evening at about 4 when their personnel leaves. This is a group of folks outside the entrance of the Safeway store. The next photograph is also a similar picture. And the last photograph is probably the best picture. And I just want to comment, I know you're in a hurry, but this is the view from the living room of a resident of the Elliott Tower. And I think he has signed up to speak, but this is what he has to look at virtually every day. So hopefully if we expand this, we can take care of some of this problem, and I would encourage you to consider that. And I think Mr. Abba wants to elaborate.
Is okay. Somebody going to explain what the perceived problem is there? What is the problem in the photograph that we're looking at?
The problem?
Yes.
I'm sorry, I don't. The problem with the photographs, or
what is the issue that you think that the expansion of Downtown Clean and Safe would take care of that we're seeing in this photograph?
I have found that the Portland Patrol folks are very effective. If you call and you say that there's a congregation of people that are making noise, or if they're in the way, or if you're intimidated as you're trying to get in and out of the Safeway store, they'll show up and try to negotiate with these folks, and they're good at it. I think the fact that somebody with a sidearm shows up and does some gentle nudging, it's very effective.
Thank you.
I'm not sure if I answered your question. I don't know which photograph you were referring to.
It's not up there anymore?
Still there.
So are you? Did you have more, sir?
No, I'm fine. Unless there are further questions.
Great. Thank you all very much for your testimony. Really appreciate it. We're juggling today a number of council topics for discussion that have a lot of folks to testify. There are 28 people signed up to testify on this matter. We're required to, though, also present the auditor's annual financial report. Is the auditor still here? Where'd she go? All right. Well, we are going to suspend the rules and hear from her as soon as she gets back to the chamber, but we will proceed with discussion, or I should say public testimony on the item before us. I'd like you to keep your comments to 2 minutes, and the clock in front of you will help you count it down. If you have prepared for three and it just messes everything up to go to two, we'll let you go to three. And here she is. So unless there's objections, I'd like to